Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So a sad day. Don Meyer died. He was the creator of, and this is going way, way back, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. He created it back in the early 60s. The show ran from 63 to 88. And I still remember Marlon Perkins, Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom. Perkins died back in 86, but Don Meyer, 104 years old. He did not get cheated whatsoever. But when I was a kid, one of my favorite shows on TV. Tells you what kind of a nerd I was. There you go. Let's find out what's going on around the world and in Washington, D.C. Bob Nay, Talk Media News. Bob, thanks for taking time for us.
Well, thank you. Ditto on the nerd thing. I like Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those, that was back when TV was, there was something to watch. I got like 500 channels of nothing.
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, nothing I could sit down with, you know, with my kids and go, we can all watch. You know, because when we go to the movies, I can only take this kid to one movie or this kid to another. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just sounding old and the curmudgeon. I remember back in the day. The good old days. When every moment wasn't a political battle. Let's get into the craziness of the day. The tweet, the deadly, deadly tweet. What do you think of Trump's tweet?
Well, I thought the entire weekend was a bizarre collision. I've been calling it all day on radio. The tweet, it was the final icing of the cake, what the tweet was. The tweet, I mean, it was outrageous. First of all, it doesn't make sense. Go back to where you came from.
Right.
Only one of the four came from somewhere other than American soil.
Yeah, but they look like they came from somewhere else, don't you know?
Well, they would. That's true. So, I mean, I thought it was outrageous. Putting aside that it's outrageous, here's the dumb political part to it, though. When I said there was a collision, you have AOC, who says something about the speaker, then says, no, I wasn't calling a racist, but if you read it, it's not good. Lacey Clay came out, one of the members of the Black Caucus, and was attacking AOC. And that was all, you know, gelling into this kind of really hotbed of political internal combustion on the Democratic side. And then along comes Kellyanne Conway, who then attacks Joe Biden over deporting too many people, which is what the Trump administration wants to do anyway, right?
Right.
But she attacks Joe Biden. What does he do? He apologizes twice. Well, he apologizes once, I'm sorry, to anybody who had a misdemeanor and was taken. But if you had a felony, he wasn't apologizing. So that was bizarre in itself. I mean, his answer should have been, who are you to attack me? This is what you want to do, you know, but instead,
yeah,
she attacks him. And then it culminates with the president doing his tweet, who should have just been quiet and let everything stir up. So he coalesced, you know, a unity factor around him where it was kind of infighting, right?
No, he actually got the Democrats eating each other, sure. But he doesn't like to let anybody else have the spotlight, and he just wants to make it exponentially worse. Right. And I think he did. Look, for his base, for the people who are going to vote for him, you know, this was right in line with their belief structure.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing now, bad here for him.
Now, if they take the bait, which it looks like they are, and they're going to do a floor resolution against the president, because today the squad, as they've called themselves, AOC and the other three members, today made some quotes, well, you know, he should be impeached. Well, it looks like they're trying to say, because, you know, they're angry at him, he should then be impeached, which is not the basis to impeach him. There's other bases to impeach him.
Oh, there's a ton of reasons.
But not because they're angry or because
right.
he said something about four of them, you know. That's not a good reason to impeach. But now, as I read the story, Rick, they're going to go to the floor of the House with a resolution, which I'm doing a brain transmission here. If I was in the House and I really wanted to be mischievous, right, and I'm Republican in the House at that time, then you could really come up with some really, really cute amendments, you know. the sexy, spicy amendments, I call them, of politics.
Right.
Like a floor amendment to condemn AOC for calling the speaker a racist. You know, throw that one out there, and let's have fun with that one. And, I mean, I can think of 8 or 9 other ones that everybody can have fun with. So I'm not so sure. I think they're giving, because the president's not going to back down, I think they're giving him a forum now.
Yep. No, I mean, at the end of the day, they just keep feeding the fire, keep adding fuel to it, where you just go, you know, there's some things you just ignore. You just let it go.
Yeah, attack and say your piece. But I'm just not so sure having a great big floor battle is going to be the way to do it.
No, I mean, this is one of those things where you go, you know, consider the source. I mean, you know, you just go, you know, don't give him any attention. And maybe, you know, maybe it stops at some point. But the more you try and take this on, the more he's going to do it. Because guess what? You know what we're now talking about? We're talking about his tweet. We're not talking about the weekend of affairs of 700 cities across the country that had people protesting his immigration policies. We're not talking about Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey who? What happened to Jeffrey Epstein? Anybody remember that story from last week? We're not talking about any of that stuff. We're talking about a tweet.
Exactly. I read all this morning, and I thought, you know, this is a collision, as I call it, beyond comprehension, and again, at the end of all of it, of a pretty messy 4 days, comes his tweet. And I think they should have attacked him for it, obviously, but I'm just not sure it goes to the floor fight.
Yeah, it's silly. Because, you know, again, while we're floor fighting this and we're going through this, this administration's, you know, pushing forward on a rule to make it harder for people to seek asylum. You know, actual policy stuff that, you know, not out in front anymore.
You know, I was thinking about that. If the rule where you put your foot in another country and you want to come to America, but your foot is in another country, you enter from one of the Central American countries into Mexico, that you have to ask Mexico first for asylum, what would stop Mexico from just instantly handing you a piece of paper and say, denied, keep going?
Yeah.
You know?
There is that. And it gives you transportation north.
Right. Then I keep going. Go to the American border where you really want to be.
And again, to me, this comes back to, you know, I've been saying this for years. This is not new for me. You know, back in 2010 when the Tea Party folks were running around screaming about how we're spending too much more money on foreign affairs and how we're giving too much money away to foreign countries to influence their policy. I go back to that moment and saying, you know, this is going to bite us in the behind, and it's biting us in the behind because, you know, we used to have some influence around the world because everybody was on the dole. Now, not so much.
Right. And, you know, there is nothing wrong with using monetary policy for diplomatic purposes, you know, in the sense of helping countries. We did it with the Marshall Plan.
Which I just saw somebody just emailed me and told me that the Marshall Plan was the guy who was behind it was a communist.
Really?
And I'm going, did I miss that bit of history?
I was a history major. I didn't catch that one.
Yeah, it literally stopped me in my tracks. I'm going, that doesn't make a lot of sense on any level whatsoever. But again, if you stop and think about what they did, they rebuilt, you know, the other countries. You know, they whipped a little national health care on them. They gave them the right to organize. You know, they actually built a fairly decent, they left behind a decent structure so, you know, people could get by. So you know, maybe, I don't know, maybe he was a communist. Maybe he was a closet communist.
I've never heard that one. That's a new one.
And it just came out of nowhere. One of those things that just came out of absolute nowhere. But no, let's talk a little bit about the immigration thing because, you know, the weekend we had these, you know, demonstrations across the country. And let me get your thought on this. You know, I tweeted this out this morning where evidently in Colorado at one of the detention centers, the protesters, you know, broke through and they ripped down the American flag and put up a Mexican flag. And I tweeted, I said, you know, this is how you lose people. This is how you turn the threes and fours into fours and fives to where, you know, maybe they're marginally with you, but this is how you turn them against you. And boy, I just got so much pushback from, you know, what are we going to do? Ask for permission and, you know, all of this idiocy. And I'm going, no, it's the optics, stupid. If this is the only thing people are going to see, this is bad.
Oh, true. I mean, it's not good. at all.
Yeah, I mean, when you had the, did you see the picture of Mike Pence? Did you see Lindsey Graham in them in those detention centers? You know, Pence with his arms folded, and, you know, that look on his face of, you know, of almost disdain for humanity. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Because, you know, someone sent me the picture, you know, with, there was a picture of Goebbels, and I think it was Goebbels and his and the Nazis inspecting the concentration camps. And then there's a picture of Pence and his people with the guards there. And you go, you know, you put them next to each other. And I'm not saying these are concentration camps, but I'm saying, wow, there's a lot of similarities.
Right, right.
And, you know, my first thought was, who in their right mind would allow anybody to have taken that picture of Pence if you're his handler? Again, these people don't play this game all that well either.
Right. Oh, yeah. I look at this, and I know how much people are paid to do these things, and I wonder how they're earning their money.
Yeah.
By allowing certain things to get out there.
Yeah, I'll have to send you that image. I mean, it's just one of those things that just go, wow.
I haven't seen it.
Crazy. But, you know, evidently the deportation raids have started. Have they happened? I mean,
That's a great question, because at 4:45 this morning, I was surfing everywhere humanly possible to find, you know, one clip or some story, and I just don't see it.
Yeah.
I think, like anything, honestly, Rick, it's, you know, this is how the president does it. He makes comment, we're doing a raid, and it doesn't matter if there was a raid or not. It got a headline.
Right.
I mean, if I wasn't doing media, I would think they did raids.
So, just the fact that they've put it out there and threatened it.
It's a brand. It's a headline. It's a branding. You know, the White House did it. If they're going to be asked about it, it was the biggest, huge, really huge, successful raid in American history.
Except it wasn't better than Obama, because evidently Obama deported 3 million people.
And you have to remember something about that. Once the president realizes that, he's going to be furious, because President Obama's getting beat right now. And he's not going to be happy about that.
Not going to be happy.
And in fact, like I said, Joe Biden was attacked by Kellyanne Conway, which I thought took a lot of guts to attack somebody and say, you know, you deported all these people, when she works for somebody that wants to deport all those people.
Yeah, but, you know, that stuff never matters to them. Hypocrisy, it just doesn't seem to at all.
I think the raid thing was, I think it was a branding. The media today, I didn't see stories following up on, did it happen, how many people were deported. I saw nothing.
Yeah.
They just bypassed it because he did a tweet.
No, it's true. I mean, he changed the whole news cycle with one tweet.
The whole cycle, yeah. Absolutely.
No, I mean, because, you know, I saw a bunch of, over the weekend, I saw a bunch of, social media stuff going, you know your rights. If, you know, the federal, if the ICE people come to your door, make sure that they have a signed warrant by a judge. And I'm going, I'm not one to shout white privilege very often, if ever, but that really shows your white privilege. If the ICE officers are kicking in your door, they're not going to hear you ask for the warrant.
Right. Exactly.
Now you may get away with that in your suburb. You may get away with that with the local police or something like that, but if ICE is kicking in your door and coming through your windows, don't reach for the remote control, because we've seen this movie before where they put one between your eyes.
And they'll tell you that we'll give you the piece of paper later.
Yeah, if at all. You know, I just found that to be really interesting, in that I saw that, and even AOC and all of them were touting, you have rights. Yeah, when they kick in your door, you don't have many rights at that moment.
Right.
So standing there and fighting at that moment, probably not a great idea.
So I don't even know if anything happened at all.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that's an interesting point. You know, maybe this is all just like everything Trump does, all just bluster.
So you see, it doesn't really matter, because the follow-up news stories of whether or how many were taken out this weekend out of their homes, that follow-up news story won't get anything like the tweet story got, or, you know, Epstein got last week. It's not going to get anything like that. So for all intent and purposes, if you wanted people to be taken this weekend, you probably think they were.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. It's actually something I hadn't thought of. I mean, you know.
And if you didn't want them taken this weekend, you'll probably Google and realize they weren't, and you'll be like, oh, okay, they didn't do it.
Yeah, and also you keep throwing it out there, and it doesn't happen. Maybe people get a little lax until when you do, there they are.
Right. So I don't think it mattered.
Yeah.
It was just the headline that doesn't go away now.
Yeah, because I just got back from Netroots Nation. I spent a couple of days in Philadelphia for the big confab, and interesting on how divided the faithful were. But the immigration issue was, you know, front and center. And you go, I fear that if the Democrats run solely on that being their centerpiece of their plan, I fear they're going to lose badly.
Well, I have told many people, we had a discussion actually last night where somebody raised this issue. It is the number one issue. And what I told them in the proper way is I don't care. Now, that doesn't mean I was telling them I don't care about the immigration issue. I don't care that they think it's the number one issue, because if they do think it's the number one issue and that's all that's pushed and something really nasty happens with somebody that's here, you know, undocumented,
yep,
you know, the media will go berserk, because the media loves to do that. They love to do that. And that's what will happen. It can't be the number one issue. It can't be the only issue.
No, and there were so many people I met, you know, at this liberal gathering who, you know, that was their issue. And I'm going, well, you know, in order to win this cycle, you're going to need to be talking about jobs. You're going to be talking about wages. You're going to need to be talking about health care. This, for most people, down the list. And back to the flag thing. You know, while most people may be appalled by what they see, the images of kids in cages and families being ripped apart, it's not affecting them on a daily basis. It's not something that most people are thinking about every moment of the day. Obviously, people who are tied to this, sure, that's their reality. That's what they're fighting for. Obviously, people who have a vested interest in it going one way or another. But the majority of Americans, I don't think really, you know, this isn't their issue.
Well, let me just verify in exact, I call it scientific terms, but let me verify exactly what you said, because what ended up happening, have you had a chance to look at the article about the town called Warren?
No, I haven't seen it.
All right. Now, this is well worth everything you just said. And I'm glad you haven't seen it, because you could have now written the article and not even have known it, because you're right on target. All right. This is. I'll make this real quick. It's the title of the article, and by the way, this is Axios. It's not Fox or anything. And it's Trump's Immigration Edge. Okay, they've got a majority of a group of 12 swing voters. Now, this is why it's important. It's just 12, but they did a focus group, not a poll. They did a focus group, which is very intense, and they asked, you know, they asked them everything. Okay, now, it says immigration will be one of the most important issues, but it could help Trump win over some voters who haven't supported Republicans. Think about that.
Yep.
So this is the Engagius FPG focus group. And they invited people to come watch this. Okay, they had nine people. Let me sum it up. They had nine people who voted for Barack Obama in 2012 and Trump in 2016, and three who flipped from Mitt Romney to Hillary Clinton. It's a small little blue area town, right? It's in a red county. Now, this town went for Clinton 51.9 to Trump 42.7. All right? Trump won the county.
Right.
Now, here's the bottom line. This is what is freaky. 74% of Americans agree there's a crisis at the border, according to CNN. Okay? Trump's handling of immigration is approved by 40% of Americans. 40%. All right? 57% disapprove of his actions on the issue.
Right.
But when they went to this definite swing group, they went for Trump, saying, this is the freakiest part, they said that they think President Trump is handling this professionally and responsibly. And here was their verbatims. We shouldn't give away our birthright like candy. I don't want to be a jerk, Rhonda H. said. I feel terrible for these people, but there are people in this country who are struggling to survive. And then others mentioned veterans or homeless people. Then there was one Obama supporter said that he's noticed the increase in for the foreign population. He said he wants to help people, but they're coming for free, and I think we're tending to baby them. So my whole point to that whole article is this is not as clear-cut as we all think.
No. And look, I know some people who have come here who are recent citizens from, Guatemala and Honduras. And, and whenever I see somebody, I ask them, what's their thought on immigration? And to a T, people who came here, mostly Latinos that I've talked to who have came here and are citizens now are against, they're on Trump's side on this. So if you want to, this isn't as cut and dry as, it's just horrible what they're doing, because it is horrible. But once you get down to it, like you've said, I mean, I don't think this is the issue that a lot on the left think it is and it's going to be. I just don't. And I fear this is, again, one of those things, along with trade policy, that hands him re-election.
If Trump's rhetoric on this issue was not as horrific as it is and has been, this would be sort of like, President Obama statistically did deport a lot of people, his administration.
Yep.
But his rhetoric wasn't like President Trump at all.
No, it's one of those things where I stand by what I said. The reality is I fear that they just don't have the right answers, and they've gone too far on this. Just my thought. We'll see. I mean, it's one of those things that I'm sure will come up in the next debate. And finally, the ACA. Are we hearing that people are worried that it's going to be chopped? Are they going to stay? What are we hearing?
Well, the Senate Republicans are saying that, because we don't know what's going to happen, because, Roberts, the Chief Justice, had went because it was a tax issue. Now that is removed because the mandatory was removed by the Republicans in the tax bill. But, what's interesting about this, I love the article that I read this morning, which was that the Senate Republicans, they don't care. They have a plan if it's repealed. And I'm reading this, I'm like, oh yeah, sure. If it's actually repealed, they're going to pass out in the hallways of the Senate.
Yeah.
Because it will be chaos. It will be serious chaos. They will be having people call them who are Republican who don't have health care. So I don't buy the story of, no problem. With the other hand, they've got their fingers crossed hoping that they lose in court.
Yeah. No, I mean, at the end of it, if they had a plan, they probably should have put it forth.
Sure. Well, but they promised to. If they got one-party government, they got one-party government. They didn't do anything.
And they had no plan.
No plan.
No plan. Well, we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. Bob, as always. Oh, hey, I forgot to congratulate you. Medicare, you made it.
Yes, I wish 6 months ago I would have not had the bill, but I'm alive. So when I had my heart attack 6 months ago, but I made it. If I have a heart attack now, I won't have a second heart attack about the bill.
Good stuff. I sure hope you don't have that second heart attack. I appreciate the time. Our good friend Bob Ney, Talk Media News. Look, at the end of it, we got a lot of things to do, a lot of work to be done. And ultimately, it's going to come down to, which candidate's the one that's going to be able to unify a divided party. And as we've been talking about today, lots of divisions. And am I happy about it? No. But ultimately, we're going to have to figure out how to mesh some lanes. I'd love to hear your thoughts, though. You can email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Tell me what you think, what you know, what you want to believe, and we'll see where things go. I appreciate the time. Thanks for tuning in. If you missed any of today's program, thericksmithshow.com. That's where you get the podcast, The Rick Smith Show app on the smartphone. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you back here tomorrow.